You know, I think outside the box. People and almost everyone you deal with in your life is going to try to bring you back to normal.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with the Freedom Nation podcast. And today I've got a really intriguing and fun guest, and you most likely have probably heard his name before. I've got John Hewitt on, and if you've ever heard of a company called Jackson Hewitt Tax Service or Liberty Tax, guess what? He's the guy that started most of that. So, John, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks, Jeff. Pleasure.
Glad to have you on here. Looking forward to our conversation today. For those that don't know much about your story, why don't we kick off by talking a little bit about your story and how you got to where you are today?
Well, it's been a long story. 54 years. Started before most of your listeners were alive. And it's been a great journey, blessed. But I was a student at the University of Buffalo, and my dad went to H&R Block and tried to buy a franchise. And they said, well, we're going to open a company store there. Why don't you have your son take our tax course? Maybe he could work for us.
And I did. Yay.
And I was blessed. One first blessing, 20 years old, found out what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And 12 years later, I was running 250 H&R Block locations and happy. My dad always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and he hadn't made it yet. And so he was a CFO of a public company, and he liked the little apple he bought by mail better than the mainframe running his public company.
Okay.
So he decided we should computerize taxes. So In 1981, we both quit our jobs, and we built the first tax software for an Apple computer.
Okay.
Ahead of its time. No one wanted it. It was a world without computers. There weren't 500,000 desktops in the country. And got blessed and founded a company in Virginia Beach called Mel Jackson Tax Service.
Okay.
Mel had died. We bought six offices from his widow. The biggest blessing, one of the biggest blessings, was the weather here is a lot nicer than Buffalo. In August of 1982, I moved my family down here and been here ever since.
Okay.
And so we changed the name to Jackson Hewitt. We merged the two companies. We went public. And 15 years later, we sold it for $483 million. It went on to become a $1 billion company. So we founded a $1 billion company. And I had a three-year non-compete, but the non-compete didn't include Canada because Jackson Hewitt's never gone to Canada.
Okay.
Having grown up in Buffalo, I had done Canadian tax returns.
So okay.
I knew there was an opportunity up there. So we started Liberty Tax in Canada for 3 years. And within 3 years, became a top 100 retail chain. So now I built one of the top 100 retail chains in the United States and one of the top 100 in Canada. When my non-compete ended, came back to the United States. And interestingly, I had to compete against myself, my own name, my own software, my own system, my own people. And yet, not only did we grow faster than Jackson Hewitt, we grew faster than them and H&R Block combined.
Wow.
We opened 4,000 offices in 12 years, top 10 fastest growing franchisor ever. Again, top 100 retail chain worth $500 million. Again, I sold my stock. And now we have loyalty brands in which we have 8 different franchise systems.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the, building a business that you take public. What do you attribute to your success there? Because certainly a lot of small business owners think, maybe someday I could do that. What did it take really to get yourself to that first time and then the second time?
Well, it starts with you have to have a fairly accurate vision of the future.
Okay.
And then you have to get everyone to buy in. And when I mean everyone, your investors, your employees, your franchisees, your vendors, your customers, the public, you have to be convincing and get everyone to ride along, to join the journey. So people clamor as they see you meet your vision and meet your goals and grow exponentially, then people become clamor to get on board.
Yeah.
And so it starts with the ability to have the vision and then be able to get others to join and get on the bandwagon.
Okay. And so I would assume that's similar to your philosophy when it came to the franchising side of it, of just, you've got to, I'm assuming, do very similar.
Exactly. I love franchising because you get, in my career, I've had thousands of employees in my 54-year career, and only a few percent act like owners.
Yeah.
And it's such a struggle to get people. Most people want to act like employees. But the ideal employee is someone that thinks like an owner.
Sure.
But with franchising, you get an owner. And most owners think like owners.
Yeah.
So my owners in all my businesses have out-hustled, out-worked, out-performed, out-created the company employees at my competitors.
I'm sure.
It's a differentiator.
Now with Liberty, what size? I mean, are they large offices, or is it maybe an owner and a couple of employees? What's their typical size?
Well, in the industry, in the national players, and we have one called Atex.
Okay.
And there's Liberty and Jackson Hewitt and H&R Block. In the standard of all the national companies, the average office has about 5 to 10 employees.
Okay.
And seasonal employees and they'll be open one day a week the rest of the year. But most of the hours are during from January 1st to April 15th, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But 5 to 10 employees. And the average owner, franchise owner in this industry owns about 6 or 7 offices.
Got it. And are they typically more of a manager owner? They're not a practitioner at all, correct?
Hopefully they're not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we teach them to be CEOs of their business.
Got it.
Some people that become franchisees in any industry think they're buying a job.
Yeah.
And so almost half of our franchisees were tax preparers.
Okay.
And they often want to sit and prepare taxes. Well, if you just want to sit and prepare taxes, then get a job. We need CEOs who manage the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's the funny thing, you buy into a system, you don't have to create anything. All you have to do is follow the system. And then, I just want to be a tax person. No, that's not your job. Stop.
Right. We spend many hours and many times trying to talk people out of doing tax returns.
Yeah. Well, you're there to manage the business and keep going. And then, they pare back, you said, to what, one day a week for the rest of the year. Is that typically to work with small business owners, or is it just to answer questions throughout the year? Or?
It's all of that.
Okay.
And there are people that don't file on time.
Okay.
And there are people that get extensions that can file as late as October 15th and still be on time.
Yep.
There are people that get letters from the IRS or the state, and there's lots of stuff that happens the rest of the year.
Okay.
And when one of our customers, they get a capital gain, or they buy a home, or they get married, or they get divorced, or they have a child, or they buy a rental property, and their life changes, and they have questions. So about a third of our customers contact us after April 15th. It was just some question, and maybe as simple as I need a copy of my tax return because my high school senior is going to college and they need a copy of my tax return.
Yeah, or I'm buying a house or something and I need that. Yeah.
Yeah, or I'm applying for an SBA loan and I need a copy of my tax return.
So sure.
It worked out busy, but 95% of the revenue comes in the taxes.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about your new company, Loyalty Brands. What all falls under that? Because you said, I think there's 8 companies that are part of it.
Right. We have eight different brands. And one is Inspection Boys. We do primarily home inspections of all kinds.
Okay.
And Loyalty Business Brokers. A lot of people don't know what business brokers are, but it's self-defining. It's instead of selling houses, you sell businesses.
Uh-huh.
And help businesses sell. And we have a Johnson Staffing Service Company. We have Ledgers, which is an accounting company that does taxes for higher-end individuals, but okay. mostly does accounting and bookkeeping and payroll for small business. We have Little Medical School, which is a feel-good business because you're dealing with 4 to 14-year-olds, and you're teaching them about medicine. And we have hundreds of lessons for after school and summer programs. And I believe we're going to have more doctors and nurses in this country because they take our course on medicine. And then our newest is roofing, CR3 roofing.
Okay.
They do roofing, solar, and paneling.
But okay.
The biggest, fastest growing surprise to me is called Zoom and Grooming.
Okay.
It's mobile grooming of mostly dogs, but surprisingly 10 or 15% of our customers have cats that we groom. It's amazing. The pet industry is so amazing that it's, you know, I've been in the tax industry, which grows very slowly, 1% mm-hmm. a year as the population grows. But people are spending more and more on their pets. And it's just amazing how fanatical and obsessive people yeah. are about their pets. And whenever you go anywhere in the country, and again, we're growing exponentially, that our potential franchisees call around and say, how long would it take my pet to be groomed? And everywhere in the whole country, it's 3 weeks or longer.
Uh-huh.
It's just such a demand that it's such a niche opportunity. So our two fastest growing are tax, which is, again, I've been doing that. This is my 55th tax season.
Uh-huh.
Self-proclaimed great granddaddy of tax, but also the Zoom and Grooming is going crazy.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think the other part of it is too, that convenience factor of coming to them, you know, I think is your big win too. They're not dragging the dog into the car and going down and then having to wait for them. It's right outside.
Yeah. When, you know, I'm pretty old, and when I was 40, 50 years ago, there was no such thing as home delivery of any kind. And then Domino's, I think, invented the delivery of pizza.
Yep.
And they began creeping up on Pizza Hut. And for decades, Pizza Hut didn't have delivery. Mm-hmm. Now every pizza restaurant has delivery.
Sure.
And now there's Uber Eats and all these.
Yeah. Specialty delivery companies that just do that. Yeah.
Amazon delivers and Whole Food delivers.
Yeah.
And I mean, Americans want more and more convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just fits in with the trend of America. And you're right. There's so many advantages because of the anxiety the animals feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You drop them off and leave them for hours amongst other dogs. And you got to get them into the car, get them out of the car, get them back in the car. And it's not very much. It doesn't cost like $25 more for us to come to your home. They don't run into any other animals. They're mm-hmm. by themselves. They're loved, and they're in their property. And
yeah, you can be there with them if they do get a little uncomfortable or whatever. And
it's, you know, a guy that has that owned a large chain of storefront grooming
mm-hmm.
who sold it. He said, "It's when you're a mobile groomer, you're a family."
Yeah,
he said, "If you're a groomer in a PetSmart, right? You never get hugs.
Hmm.
But when you come to someone's home and you bring the dog back to the door or the cat, they hug you. You're part of the family."
Yeah. Now, with these, the different brands you had, did you start them cold from zero, or did you do what you had done before of buy, you know, a small practice and then just grow it from there?
Yeah, most of them we bought a small practice and grew it.
Okay.
Exactly. That's my preferred way to do it.
Yeah, well, it's already, if you've got a good system, all you have to do is tweak it and then expand upon it much better than starting from ground zero. Yeah, definitely an interesting idea for.
You're right. It's a lot easier to tweak than it is to start from scratch.
Absolutely. Well, what's new in your world? What do you have coming up that you can tell us about?
Well, I think that what I've learned in pets is, again, tax preparation grows by 1% a year. So what I'm going to be at a show on Thursday in Orlando, the biggest pet product show in the country. And they have food and treats and leashes and all kinds of medicine and insurance. So what I've decided is that Zoom and Grooming is so growing so rapidly that we're going to look at adding other services for our franchises.
Okay.
Because every out of our customers that have grooming done, some of them need dog walking.
Okay.
Pet sitting.
Okay.
With insurance. So we're going to offer other services to help monetize this for our franchisees because they have this special bonded relationship with the customer. And so if the customer goes out of town and they need a babysitter, why do you want to go on some application and order someone you don't know when we're family and we can give you someone that will take care of you. So we're going to expand the pet footprint.
Yeah, that's the great part is you now have franchisees that can be a pet, you know, a pet solution shop versus just a service provider at that point. Do you know?
Perfect phrase, pet solution.
Yeah, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, is there any type of a mobile veterinary solution that's out there?
There is, but veterinarians are in such demand.
Okay.
Think back to the 17th century and the Wild West, and the doctors might come to your house. Mm-hmm. How many human doctors, come to their houses anymore, right? And so they don't need to. The vets are in such high demand, they don't need to do that.
Okay.
So it's, even though it's preferred, they can't handle nearly as many patients.
Got it.
And all the veterinarians I know are booked up for weeks in advance.
So no need to get in the little van and drive around town at that point. So.
Exactly. That's an extra, you know, it's an extra 15 minutes between customers. That
makes sense.
They could be seeing more customers. So a veterinarian that stays in his office can see twice as many patients as one that travels.
Sure. Sure. Even if they could upcharge. It's not going to make the difference at that point.
Right.
Genius. Well, that is fantastic. I'm unbelievably impressed with your ability to continue that process over and over again. And, you know, I don't see you stopping anytime soon, my friend. You just keep on going.
You mentioned retirement, and retirement is, you know, I don't find anything bad about someone wanting to retire. When I was a kid, I thought, you know what, I'm going to get rich. I know I'm going to be rich. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm going to be rich. I'll make a few million and retire.
Yeah.
And I realized, what would I do?
Yeah.
And right now I'm almost 75 and I'm at the peak of my knowledge and experience.
Sure.
And capability. And it's time to give back. And
yeah.
I can't imagine with my experience and my knowledge and my capability, go sitting on a beach somewhere and just whiling away the time.
Yeah.
What a useless life that would be there are so many people out there who could use my help.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing that I've always heard, and this is from an outsider looking in, all of the services that you have been part of. So I've known people that have owned Jackson Hewitt's. I've known people that have owned Liberty Tax. I've not really known anybody that have owned any of your current franchises. Every single person had nothing but wonderful things to say. And I think that's a testament to all the way up to the top of you building a wonderful company that supports the franchisees. You know, you don't have the franchisees that get left out there to hang, you know, to dry up.
Yeah. Our model, Jeff, is happy, successful franchisees.
Yeah.
If you have happy, successful franchisees, you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to fail.
Yeah, and you just keep growing as a result. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited to hear what ends up happening as you start to expand the Zoom side, because that just seems like a mind map exploding in front of you. That one franchise alone could be just a nonstop mind map of different ways that you could do it from the pet perspective.
Yeah, and remember, I built 6,000, Jackson Hewitt had 6,000 locations and Liberty 4,000. So we will have in the next, within 5 years, we'll have 4,000 vans.
Wow. Everywhere.
And looking at other ways, as I said, other ways to modify it.
Yeah. Now, are you primarily in the U.S. or are you in any other countries?
You know, there's so much room in the United States.
Okay.
That we don't need to go to other countries. But obviously, it fits in other countries.
Sure.
But there's so much opportunity here than that.
And I'm not completely convinced that every other country is as freaky about their pets as we are.
You know, there are a few that are more, but most not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that. A wonderful story. Let's transition into the fast five questions.
Okay.
All right.
You promise they'll be fast?
Yeah, they'll be fast. All right. You ready for the first one?
Sure.
All right. So you wake up in the morning. Your business is gone. You still have the knowledge in your head. $500 in your pocket, laptop, computer, place to live. What are you going to do first?
Well, that's easy. I remember I sold Jackson Hewitt.
Yep.
After 15 years, it was a half a billion dollar company. Mm-hmm. I had my name on it.
Yep.
And some people will come to me and say, aren't you upset that this is your baby? You sold your baby. And I said, if God came to me and said, I can take your child, mm-hmm. life of your child, or take your company, what would you say? Take the company.
Yeah.
If God came to me and said, I will cripple you or take your company, what would you say?
Take the company.
But I was not at all depressed or upset or mm-hmm. anxious or anything. And I said, okay, where's the next company?
Yeah.
What's going to be next? And so when I sold Jackson Hewitt, it's okay, Liberty. And then mm-hmm. when I sold Liberty, okay, it's Loyalty Brands.
Yeah.
So I would look for the next opportunity to help people. And mm-hmm. I've lived a life of changing lives. I've brought 1,000 millionaires into the world. And that's what I do, is change lives. So I'll be looking how I can help and change more lives.
That is the best way of putting it. I absolutely love that. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Well, the easiest one to understand is... it may not be quite the biggest, but it's the easiest one for people to understand, is when I bought Mel Jackson Tax Service, mm-hmm. they had 6 offices.
Okay.
And H&R Block had 9,000.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to have one more office in H&R Block. So that's pretty crazy, right? I was 33 years old and I'm going to grow by 8,995 offices. And have one more office in H&R Block. And I started on a decent trajectory. I started in August of 83, and January I had 11.
Okay.
And then from 6 to 11, and the second year I had 15. Third year I had 22. So mm-hmm. in 2.5 years, I had gone from 6 offices to 22. That's good growth by most mm-hmm. people's terms.
Yeah.
But to get to 9,000, I realized it would take me 400 years. And so the biggest mistake I made was not franchising from day one.
Okay.
When I started Liberty Tax, day one started franchising.
Yeah.
So that, because you don't have enough resources in people and money to be able to grow with high quality service. No one has ever built a 4,000 unit chain like I did in 12 years without franchising people that act like owners. So not franchising was my biggest mistake.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great answer too. Because a lot of people don't even think of franchising, or most of them that couldn't get organized enough to franchise.
Block was mostly franchised. So it was right staring me in the face.
Yeah, you'd already experienced it before. When you ran the 250 offices that you ran, were those all franchised or were those company stores?
I was in the Philadelphia market, so it was mostly Metropolitan Company, but I had 200 company stores and 50 franchises.
Okay, excellent. All right, next question. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
It depends how detailed you want to be in business.
Okay.
So if you're very experienced in business, then I would recommend any Peter Drucker book.
Okay.
Preferably The Effective Executive.
Mm-hmm.
Effective Executive by Peter Drucker. If you're inexperienced in business and or younger, I love everything Dale Carnegie wrote.
And yes.
I agree with everything Dale Carnegie wrote.
And it's amazing to me when you go back and you read Dale Carnegie, because my first introduction to Dale Carnegie was after my grandfather died. I basically had full run of his library. And, pulling out of his library was an original, first edition Dale Carnegie. And you read that, and I could read that today, and everything applies because it's just human nature.
Yeah. Exactly. It was written 60, 70 years ago. And,
yep.
And it's just as important today.
Yeah. It's basic human skills is all I say. In fact, I think it's probably more prevalent or should be more prevalent today with the skill level that we see in some of our younger generations. So.
Exactly.
What is a tool that you use in your business that you might recommend?
A tool? I would say... I'm going to call this a tool. This you might not consider this a tool.
Hmm.
It might be a philosophy versus a tool. But I learned a long time ago, I've always been a student of business. And it wasn't until I was almost 40 that I learned this lesson.
Hmm.
And if you think, Jeff, if the top executives of Walmart are over there,
mm-hmm.
and the top executives of Kmart are over there, what's the difference in them? Are because obviously one's incredibly successful,
mm-hmm.
one's going down the toilet. So are these guys smarter? Are they more educated? Are they more experienced? I said, no, you can hire the smartest experienced. So they're not the most educated. They're not the most experienced. They're not smartest. What are they? Well, I said, it's culture and attitude. And Tom Watson Sr. in his writings, he wrote, founder of IBM, wrote, give me 100 people with great engineers or 100 people with great attitude.
Yeah.
And I will take the people with great attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You can teach engineering. You can't teach attitude. And the biggest, another big mistake that I've made in my career numerous times is trying to change someone's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over 100, over 200. I've never been able to change people's attitude. So the tool I use is a method. Hire for attitude, not for skill.
There you go. Yeah, and you'll win every time. But I heard a great expression that one of the folks I interviewed was one of the first few folks I interviewed on this show. And the way he explained it was that you can't hire turkeys and expect eagles out of them. And I've used that. I try and make people eagles, and if they're a turkey, they just continue to be a turkey. So.
Exactly. I like that.
All right. Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
You know, I'm so old, I remember Janis Joplin's definition of freedom. Do you remember that?
Freedom is, I'm trying to remember. You're going to have to remind me.
Freedom is nothing left to lose.
There we go. Yeah, I was thinking that, but I thought there was something in between there. And I'm like, okay.
We have nothing left to lose. But I don't really understand what she meant by that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not having anyone that you have to, that keeps you in the box.
Yeah.
You know, I think outside the box. And almost everyone you deal with in your life is going to try to bring you back to normal and bring you back to average. People don't like you to be different, and they like it to be, they want you to be part of the pack or the herd. You know, everyone wants you, they want to be part of the herd. Most people want to be like sheep, part of the herd. And then they don't want, there's not many black sheep, right?
Nope.
There's a herd. So when you get out of the herd, they'll keep trying to drag you into the herd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've never got me into the herd. I will go crazy. To get outside common ordinary thinking.
Yeah.
Worst insult you could ever give me is you are normal. or I know someone just like you.
Yeah.
Or you, that is it. So the freedom to not be normal. Freedom is not having to be normal, not having to be typical.
Yeah.
Not having to be average.
Oh, I think now I remember the lyric actually. Freedom's just another name for nothing left to lose. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Show your age a little.
I grew up listening to, I've always been about two decades behind in music. All of a sudden I'll start getting into like the early 2000s music again. But yeah, I grew up college time. I listened to mostly 60s music and absolutely love it all. So
for my money, 60s was the best decade ever for music.
Yep. Yep. I think, probably the broadest I've gotten recently into the mid 70s, a lot of that, the kind of more folk type music, which I've actually begun to enjoy because I started playing guitar, and that was just the greatest guitar era, I think, ever in history.
Agreed.
Yep. Well, John, thank you so much. It was just a pleasure to get to know you and learn about your story and share your story with our audience. Keep going. I'm just excited to see where you go next, because you always seem to have the magic touch of making it, finding the right place to be and making it happen.
I've been blessed.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, folks, thank you for joining us as well. We do these shows for you and share the folks like John with you. So make sure that you subscribe to the show. Also, make sure that you give us a little upvote and a comment, because we'd love to hear from you and learn a little bit about what you want to see. So thanks a lot, and we will see you guys back here the very next show.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.